name, sir?
My name is Adam Price.
Okay, hold on one second. You had someone else before, right?
Adam Price is a revocation.
Okay, so who was
Price on revocation?
I'm not sure.
Revocation.
Thank you for keeping me on track.
No, no problem. Just hold one second, Mr. Price. You'll be right with me.
Yeah, I'll be right with you guys.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Lorenzo Mines will conduct your hearing. He's gonna be the lead, sir, so just hang on to the phone.
That's great.
Okay, sir, can you hear me clearly?
Oh, yes.
Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Adam Lee Price, 269-427.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
Thank you.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given the form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on January 18th, 2019. Is that correct, sir?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with the opposite side of the bench. Working toward me, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. White. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Hearings Officer, Mr. Turner, and he will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Price and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Price, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections. Then we talk about it. The board will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. I will now begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal laser company as follows. Violation of condition 12B, as demonstrated by a failure to report to the Black Canyon Parole Office located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, within one business day following your discharge from your approved residence / halfway house, reward assistance at 1841 West Fairmont Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on December 13, 2018. Your whereabouts were a known thus you're absconded from supervision. Mr. Price, is this true or false?
Yeah, that's true, but I've called multiple times. I'm just going to get through to the parole office.
Okay, Mr. Price, sorry to interrupt. You'll have a chance to speak with the board in detail during the second phase of the hearing, but per our board protocol, at this point, I'm going to make a motion to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. So just give us a moment, and then we'll come back to you. But I will make that motion, and that is based on Mr. Price's admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or a company.
Okay.
Second.
Agreed.
So on second, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal. Agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Price, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our Community Corrections Officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you will just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail, okay, sir? Thank you, Mr. Price. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Price was released from ADC custody on 12-12-2018 and arrested on 12-28-2018 by Phoenix PD. No new charges are noted. He is returned back to ADC custody on 12-28-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 4-22-2019 with 14 abscond days. Current convictions: 2016, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2017, criminal trespassing, first degree, 1 year, 6 months. Prior convictions: 2006, criminal damage, 1 year. 2010, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2013, robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2016, aggravated harassment, 1 year. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 33, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. He has no STG information. Prior terms of supervision: 2012, TIS release, completed, 4 months. 2015, TIS release, completed, 5 months. Disciplinary is minimal with promoting contraband, drugs, and disorderly conduct noted. However, after his return to custody, he received a minor disciplinary for refusal to UA and was found guilty. Other arrest: 2006, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2006, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He has a GV score of G5, V6.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. Price. I'm going to make a very quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to live at Newborn Assistance, 1841 West Vermont Avenue in Phoenix. Am I correct that you never checked in?
No, I checked into the Orangeburg address. You know, they had me drop and I was clean. They sent me to a different location, and I was on the bus, and I couldn't find it. I got lost for about 2 hours, and I went back to the original address they put me at, and I told them I couldn't find it, and if you could get me right over there, he told me no. So I went back over there. I ended up making it over there about 12:30, maybe like 11:30, 12, and I was locked out, so I was pretty much outside freezing. I asked one of the other residents there if I could, you know, come inside or use a phone, and he pretty much told me no. So therefore I left, you know, just to find, you know, find somewhere else to go. And then I ran into somebody that actually helped me out and gave me money and offered me if I could, or offered that I could stay there for the night. And that person ended up having drugs, you know, so I just relapsed right there. So after that, I went back over there, and then, you know, they told me I could come in, then they dropped me, so I was dirty. And then I went to this place called Community Bridges, like Detox, Lark, you know. And I tried to call over and over again, you know, my parole officer, but I couldn't get through. The number looks like this fax machine thing. And then I called the cell phone number, and it was a 9-digit number. It was even a full working number, you know. So therefore, I just pretty much just gave up, you know. I got picked up on a hold one. It was a misdemeanor, so I was in county for about 4 days. Then they released me, and it's just like on the streets, nobody was like it. And then I got released from when I got released, I had a debit card with money on it. They failed to give me that, so I had no money, no way to get food, bus passes. Nobody was letting me use the phone on the streets whatsoever. I'm family that's out of state, you know. And the victim in this case, potential victim or whatever, you know, it's my mom. And it's not like she's in fear for her life or anything. She's in a different state, and she actually sends money. The only person who sends me money while I'm in here, you know, so it's not like she's holding a grudge against me or anything like that, you know. And usually I'm really good on the road, and I've always completed, you know, just this time around, it's just all of the odds were stacked against me in a way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I appreciate your accounting, and I do want to commend you on your past, at least dealing with community supervision, because frankly, it's rare that when we hear somebody's community supervision history, that they follow through, and it sounds like you're on several months of community supervision without any issues, although I also want to be realistic and say that you've had four convictions. So are a lot of those convictions related to drugs, or what's...
No, it was the ones that with the aggravated assault and aggravated harassment, that was actually for my, the first members of my family, you know, like it was my sister, my brother-in-law. There was like a family dispute, you know. Pretty much after like the robbery charge, you know, I was on the straight edge, straight arrow, and had a full-time job and all that, and me and my family, we have a dysfunctional relationship. Yeah, there's drugs involved, and we have history of drug use together, you know what I mean? So when that happens, we all have like this dysfunctional thing going on, to where, you know, they'll call the cops will be called and all that. So I know, I mean, I need to stay away from them, that's what I know, you know what I mean? But that's pretty much what the domestic violence stuff was about.
You know? Okay, well, again, I feel like you're being very straightforward with the board, and that's meaningful. You said that you had a relapse out in the street, is that right?
Yeah.
Did you have a particular drug of choice?
No, it was meth.
And has that been an ongoing problem for you?
I mean, on and off for several years, but, you know, I worked through it, you know. Like I said, I went to Community Bridges by myself willingly. And I tried to call to get a hold of parole there, and I just couldn't get through. Like, the numbers didn't work that he gave me. It was like a 9-digit number for a cell phone, and then the office number went like straight to a fax machine. You know what I mean?
Okay, Mr. Price.
You can see the records and history there. Like, I went there willingly. Like, I knew that's what I had to do, you know?
If you'll just give me 1 second, I'll ask a community corrections officer if there was any record of him trying to contact parole.
There is no documentation after his initial intake.
Okay. Now, Mr. Price, this is not to say that we're accusing you of not telling the truth, but the phone calls weren't...
On his business card he gave me, it was a cell phone number, it was a 9-digit number. Like, it went to nowhere. It went to nothing. It was a 9-digit number, you know what I mean?
Well...
And the office number went straight to a fax machine, and then I called the office, and nobody could get away. I was straight to, like, automatic, like, answering things, you know, like operators and stuff. So, I just gave up. I honestly just gave up.
We don't have much more information, pardon me, in the community supervision summary because you just didn't have history with your parole officer this time of when you went missing. So, I think you should describe that.
I was on the streets for the whole 2 weeks. I mean, it wasn't fun to me. I was homeless, starving, freezing. I mean, I didn't have phone. I didn't, like, take off for no reason. I was stranded at times. No one was letting me use the phone out there. Everybody had cell phones, but it's like trying to ask somebody for a phone call is like asking too much, you know? It's just, yeah, like, I was completely miserable for the whole 2 weeks. It was no fun. It wasn't fun to me whatsoever. I completely regret it, you know? And I know I'm not like blaming reborn for sending me somewhere else and all that, you know what I mean? I know if I had a relapse, I would have been successful, you know what I mean? Like, I understand that, you know? But it's like, they were so set on this specific address, I'd be in Orangewood, and then I go over there, and then they send me somewhere else without like a map or GPS, and then they're like, good luck, you know, go find that place. And I'm out there for like hours looking, and I go back and tell them I can't find it, and he's like, well, we'll try again, you know? And
but Mr. Price, again,
I'm just pretty much like I gave up, you know. That's it.
No, it certainly isn't trying to cut you off outright. I just wanted to ask you an important question, like an important standard question, and that is, what caused the Phoenix Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconding warrant?
Yeah. because I was over in, like, 15th Avenue, Van Buren, like, around Cass. I went to Cass, and I came back, and I took a shirt, and I ripped it, and it was red. And I put it over my face because it was cold, because the wind was blowing on my face. And I had my hood up, and they thought I was a gangbanger in the neighborhood, so they stopped me because they looked like I was up to no good or, you know, suspicious. And they said it was because I had the thing over my face, and they thought I was from, like, a gang or something. I don't know. It was really cold outside. So,
okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members any questions for you. I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. Price, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand before we go into discussion and vote on this case?
Not really that I can think of. All right, well, off the top of my head.
Well, thank you for being so direct, Mr. Price. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So, if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I'm sincere when I say that I appreciate how direct Mr. Price was in the accounting of his experience after release into the community. It sounds very unfortunate, and in some cases, really sort of a hard luck story. I don't know what is in Mr. Price's heart or mind, but it certainly sounds like that he took some efforts between his transition with the different reborn assistance locations. We just can't account for what happened during those 14 days. I do appreciate him admitting that he used, I think that's a step towards his own comeback, if you will, his own rehabilitation. I hope it's something that he's thinking strongly about. But I will also say that listening to the whole of his story and what he's confronted with in the community with his one supporting individual in the community being someone who's also considered a victim from a domestic violence incident, and with less than 3 months left on his flat sentence, I think he might be best served finishing his time and being released free and clear without any of these impediments, but that's just my opinion, so any input. Hearing no further input, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. And that is based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018W3706, a discussion with Mr. Price, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Price was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse with the criminal razor company, inasmuch that we have started for 14 days and we just could not monitor and verify his behavior in the community, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
And I'm sorry, who seconded?
I did.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Neal, and the Honorable Mr. Gail Whitehouse. Mr. Price, your supervision has been revoked, but, and I do want to keep this positive because I really do appreciate how straightforward you were. You will be released on April 22nd, 2019, which is very close to being just, well, we're still in February, but we're pretty close. So,
yeah.
Sister on the corner, I encourage you to take advantage of any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections in these last weeks, and I mean weeks, not months or years, and to put together a plan for your return to the community. Hopefully you mended that fence with your mother. You were honest about some dysfunctions in your family, and I know that you probably know that you need to stay away from bad influence, but you'd probably be best served to be free and clear without having to deal with community corrections at this point and pursue your own interests. So we wish you a safe, productive, and sober return to the community. Please look into dealing with any drug abuse issues. We'd hate to see you back in this system again. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Mr. Price, thank you for being so pleasant with the board.
All right.